Limitless wrestling fans, this is the Emmy award-winning John Alba telling you once again, go over to iTunes, go over to Podbean, go over to Google Play, wherever you get this podcast, and leave the Limitless Wrestling Podcast a 5-star review and subscribe. It is how we help grow this podcast and help get it out to more and more listeners every single week. Listeners that may be at the Feed the Need show this coming week. Then you could talk about not just Limitless Wrestling, but the Limitless Wrestling Podcast as well. So without further ado, here is your Limitless Wrestling Feed the Need preview show. Another episode of the Limitless Wrestling Podcast, the Emmy award-winning John Alba returning to action in this one, joined, of course, by the czar of Limitless Wrestling, Randy Carver. Just the two of us this week as we preview Feed the Need. I have the need to feed on more Limitless Wrestling, and why wouldn't you? This is the hottest promotion in all of New England. I mean, things are looking up for Limitless Wrestling right now. How excited are you for this week's show, Randy?
Dude, I'm very excited. Back at the Portland Club, downtown Portland. Tickets still on sale on limitlesswrestling.com. I think, honestly, top to bottom, this could be the best wrestling card that we've ever presented. Of course, that is my opinion. You got to be there to see it happen. What do you think of the card, John?
I think this is a great card. And like I said, I think like if you're talking like ring work wise and like all that, I think this is top notch as far as that stuff goes. Plus, just such an amazing main event that we're going to get into as we roll through this podcast, as we preview Feed the Need. How you been? You get those pre-show jitters in this week leading up to it?
Kind of. I mean, you can't not. It's very exciting. It's very nerve-wracking, but it's a fun time. Usually the week before the show, and if today was any indication, it will be the rest of this week. I'm going to be at Staples like 8 times a day and have everything be fucked up. But it's actually going, you know, knock on wood, it's going pretty smooth so far. The Portland Club is very easy to work with. So I'm excited. I'm very excited for this show.
You get a chance to see Infinity War yet? Because that's what I spent my day doing alone. I went alone. I loved it. I thought it was great. But I'll tell you, one thing that bothered me very much so, and none of these people would win an Alba Star Search, is that when you're watching a Marvel movie, people, if you haven't seen this movie yet, when you're watching a Marvel movie, you stay until the credits are over. What have you not learned? If you've seen one of these Marvel movies, you stay until the credits are over. You know who'd be pissed?
How many people dipped?
Oh my God, dude, almost everyone. I went to the Spotlight Cinemas in Orno, you know, I went there, and I'd say 85% of the theater dipped. How do you do that?
That's crazy. You know, Spotlight's the best, man. It's so cheap.
It is cheap. Good. It is cheap. I know Alex Chamberlain, Limitless alum, would be very upset about that. Quite the comic book fan himself would be very upset about people leaving. But that was just a gripe I had to get off my chest. I was very mad about that. But it was a very good movie, and Josh Brolin was awesome in it.
That's good.
And I finally feel caught up with pop culture now because I see all these memes on Facebook, and I finally feel caught up, and I get it now.
Yeah, I don't get any of them. I see everyone talking about, like, rocks in a glove, and I'm
you're like, what?
And people, like, fading away. I don't understand a thing of it. I have to go see it.
Exactly. Who would be the Thanos of Limitless Wrestling?
Dude, I don't know who Thanos is.
Thanos is that big purple guy. He's the big bad guy in this, okay? Kind of looks like Stone Cold Steve Austin. Who would be the just
Stone Cold.
Okay, who would be just the absolute dick of Limitless Wrestling, other than Dick Justice?
I was going to say Dick Justice.
Because I know that firsthand.
I don't know. Anthony Green could be in that running.
Yeah,
I think you
true.
Could make a strong wow. case for yourself.
Wow. Ooh.
I mean, come on. You got to look back and hear what you say to these people sometimes. The fans of Limitless Wrestling, the people who keep this going, and you're in the ring insulting them every time you're out there.
I will say, I think I've had some of the best signs in Limitless. I've had...
Yeah, I do enjoy those.
There was the sign that said, I still enjoy John Cena CD. Which was which was a good one.
I do, too. I mean, I throw on some word life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I love that CD. It was one of my first CDs.
What are some of the
very young?
What are some of the feedback you got from last week's interview with Top Shelf Troy Nelson?
Oh, outstanding. I think Top Shelf had a story that had not really been told yet. I don't think a lot of people know that, you know, where he trained and his upbringing in pro wrestling and his strong connection to EYFBO, otherwise known as LAX. To me, it's very interesting, and I've known his story for years. So to finally get that out there, we get a lot of emails, a lot of tweets this week just of back. I do think that we're going to keep doing interviews like that with some Limitless roster, maybe some bigger names who come in only once in a while, and we can kind of sit down and have a chat with them. But I think that was very good. I enjoyed the episode myself, and I think Top Shelf will be someone that we have back on the podcast regardless sometime soon.
Me too. I thought it was all great, and what should be great is this Feed the Need show coming to you this Friday from the Portland Club, 7:30 bell time, right? Do I got that right?
Yeah, 7:30 bell time. Doors open at 7 or 6:30 p.m. if you have VIP.
And the parking situation is the same as we talked about in the past, right?
Oh, yeah. Let's jump into that real quick, just so I can get that out there, because it is a new venue. There is not a huge parking lot, but street parking in the city of Portland is absolutely free after 5 p.m. There is a small parking lot behind the Portland Club. The hospital next door, they have a huge parking lot that's gated on the left, but those gates open up at 5 p.m. as well, and that becomes free to the public. So there's two parking lots. Street parking is free. You can park. I think street parking is available in front of the building, regardless. The street in back of the building, which I will get the name to and put online, that's always usually clear, and it's always free. If you have trouble finding parking, though, there is a parking garage right on Congress Street. It's about a block away. So,
yes, there is.
Within that vicinity, you should be able to find a good parking spot for free or for a couple bucks.
There you go. Have at it, people. Let's run through this card, why don't we? Maybe throw out some predictions while we're in the process, too. This show has been built around a ton of great matches, but one in particular, one that Limitless Wrestling fans have wanted to see for some time, it is Josh Briggs and Teddy Hart. There are so many mini stories that play into this grand picture story between these two. And I think a lot of it has to do with personal pride from both of their ends, but especially from the young gun, Josh Briggs. How do you think Josh Briggs' pride has led him to this position to be calling out Teddy Hart for a match again? And finally getting this payoff that so many Limitless Wrestling fans have been waiting for.
I think it showed that Josh has a lot of balls, and I think we saw that in the Donovan Dijak Josh Briggs match from Nothing Gold Can Stay, Dijak's final appearance in Limitless Wrestling.
Which you could argue was really his coming out party, Briggs's.
I think it was, because before that, you know, Josh had been on just a select couple Limitless shows, and he was actually someone who was suggested to be in Limitless by Donovan Dijak. So that was a very special moment to have. And, you know, Dijak after the match just putting it out there saying that Josh Briggs is the future of big man wrestling, not only in New England, but the world. And I think over the past 6 months, especially, we've seen that because Josh has been going everywhere beyond wrestling. He made his debut late last year, CZW, Black Label Pro, C4 in Canada, Alpha One in Canada. Like, the dude's everywhere now. It's pretty cool to see. But after winning the six-man scramble earlier in September, that show where the Teddy Hart confrontation came to be, Teddy Hart wanted to come back to Limitless Wrestling. He wanted one of the next big top stars, and Josh Briggs answered that challenge. And I think that, honestly, you know, with the reaction of the crowd, I think it caught a lot of people off guard.
Mm-hmm.
But I think who better to answer that challenge than Josh Briggs, who – you know, he had the coming out party with Donovan Dijak, but now he needs to have a big match and win it. And that would be the match to do it. And obviously, that match, this whole thing, as many fans know who have been following the situation, this was supposed to happen at Hybrid Moments in November. That obviously did not happen. And now we're here many months later in May, and it's finally going to go down.
There is a lot of controversy about Teddy Hart for so many different reasons over the last two decades, pretty much. And there is no denying his talent. He is one of the most talented high flyers to ever step in the ring. And it is a reality. That is a cold fact. I have always had cordial exchanges with him. but there have been a lot of people who haven't. He's gotten himself in a lot of trouble, and yet he finds himself here with a second chance in Limitless, because after the trouble he got in, you could have dropped him. You could have dropped all that, Randy. You could have said, I don't want to deal with this. Why bring him back?
Teddy, here's the thing, and I'm just going to rewind here. I'm 21 years old, so
Teddy Hart was signed. Teddy Hart was signed to WWF in 1998 when you were, what, a year old?
Yeah.
A year old. How about that? He was 18. He was 18.
It's crazy. I'm not privy to a lot of the shitty stuff that he's accused of doing or may have done. I obviously, you know, coming up into the business, Teddy Hart was always surrounded with controversy. You never knew. He was a wild card. That's what he was considered, was a wild card. And when I was coming up, I was never on any shows with him because he was either in Mexico or a lot of promoters in the U.S. did not want to use him because of the reputation that he had. I think the big thing is that Teddy has matured, at least from what I've heard. You know, I didn't have any dealings with him when he was, you know, crazy or doing bad shit.
On the wrong path.
Yeah, exactly. So I did not have any dealings with him at all until, you know, I ended up meeting him last year. But I didn't have this preconceived notion in my head of stuff that he had done because I really didn't know specifics. You hear it from someone who heard it from someone else who heard it from someone else, and you can take that with a grain of salt. So I wouldn't say I was 100% open to booking Teddy Hart at first, but it wasn't something that I was totally against. And actually, Danger Kid is the one who kind of set this all up, because local promotion, IWE, this is when the Mainstay Posse was still working there. Mm-hmm.
He filled in.
Yeah, they were bringing in D.H. Smith, and he had to pull off last minute. So Teddy Hart ends up filling that spot. And this is July of 2017, just to put a timestamp on it.
And he was great. He was awesome. Not just in the ring, but outside the ring, too. He was cordial to everyone. Everyone had a great time. Everyone enjoyed meeting him. He was awesome to work with.
And Danny calls me after the Friday night show. He's like, yo, he's like, Teddy Hart just fucking killed it with Jason Rumble in the main event. He is unreal. Like, he is still going at a ferocious pace. There is no reason, like, you shouldn't bring him in. Like, he's just putting him over to the moon. So, I have all these thoughts in my head because I've heard all this shit about Teddy Hart. So I'm like, man, do I really want to take a chance of getting fucked over potentially? And I wasn't too sold on it at the time, but then Danny ended up showing Teddy the next day a lot of videos from our shows, and Teddy was very interested. So I ended up exchanging numbers, got Teddy's number, and we talked, I think that Sunday, and we talked for like an hour and a half, and I asked him, I was very straight up. It was probably the most truthful first conversation I've ever had with someone, because I asked him, you know, straight up, can you just put it all on the table? Because, you know, he straight up told me that there was legal shit that could pop up with him in Texas. And he told me that that wasn't expected to happen until January of 2018. And he, you know, showed me some documents. And from that point on, we pretty much talked like five or six times a week on the phone. And I just kind of learned everything about him now compared to what he was and what he's done. And I said, fuck it, we're going to take a chance, and we'll book Teddy Hart. And I met up with him when he came up for IWE in August, and we got a drink together after the show, just talking more and just getting to know him more. And I think he had one of his best matches of the year in September with MJF, and then we're supposed to, you know, have everything work out in November with him and Josh Briggs, but all the legal stuff ended up coming up a lot earlier than we had both anticipated, you know. It was October 20th, I believe, and the match with Briggs was supposed to happen November 3rd. So Teddy was unavailable to talk to throughout that whole time. I was going through Brett Lauderdale of GCW, who at least knew where Teddy was, and I kind of knew something was up at that point because I hadn't heard from Teddy in like 3 days, and that was very much unlike him because we kept in contact almost daily, and then that happened. So we kind of had to problem solve real quick. We ended up getting Darby Allin as a replacement. It was a really big bummer because we had just finished the unsanctioned for like Harry Aaron's unsanctioned videos that he puts out. We had just finished that to be released like the next day. And then we got that news and that was a real big bummer. So we had to problem solve from there. And that's why we taped the little thing at Hybrid Moments with Josh Briggs that you see in that unsanctioned video now that it's out, because we didn't know if this could possibly happen. I honestly did not know how much shit Teddy was potentially in, because it went from him possibly being in jail 6 months to potentially being there 7 to 10 years. And he talks about that on the Jericho podcast. And it was a mess. Honestly, it was a really big mess, but it worked out for the best for Teddy. He is on the right path now, just like he was before he went in and had his past kind of catch up to him there for a minute. So I took the long way around this question, but to come back, I believed in Teddy before the shit came up. He was honest with me, told me everything that could come up, and he didn't lie about that. Like, I knew that was a potential thing that could happen. It was just the kind of balancing, you know, how cool it could be to have this little story with Teddy and how much the fans would appreciate that, because the fans fucking love Teddy Hart. There's no way around that. So I think I took the risk of having something work out for the better. And then we got kind of, you know, we got low blowed on that when it blew up in our face. But I think now it means so much more to have this match finally happen. And I think the fans are very appreciative that it is happening. So all in all, I think it's all worth it.
It sounds to me like you have a little bit of a personal soft spot for him too.
I do, because I think we were one of the first places to kind of give him a platform again, along with GCW. GCW was the first one to really take a chance on him again. And I also got, I talked to Brett before I booked Teddy, and he said Teddy was nothing but great with him. So, I think we're one of the first places to kind of give him a good platform again to show what he can do and to show that he's not washed up. He's not unprofessional. He's not going to, you know, hold promoters up for money. He's not going to stiff guys. Like, he is a professional wrestler, and he's, you know, one of the best going still. He's a crazy high flyer. He's a great underrated technician. Like, he can still go. And I do have a little soft spot for him because I know what he can do still. And I want other places to see that, too. I want him to have one of those full schedules like all these guys like Pentagon and Ray Phoenix are having right now, because I think he deserves it.
What would a win for Josh Briggs mean here?
I think he says it all in that unsanctioned video. And if you haven't seen that, youtube.com/limitlesswrestling. Harry Aaron, our producer for videos, is the fucking best. Like, he's so good at what he does. That video, it's 10 minutes long, but it takes you through this whole roller coaster of a story between Briggs and Hart that's just amazing. And I think what Briggs says is true. I think a victory over Teddy Hart takes him to the top of Limitless Wrestling. He's on par with the guys like an Ace Romero or Anthony Green or a JT Dunn, and there's no questioning that. And I think Josh, you know, he hasn't won all of his matches, not even close. So I think there is dispute of where he stands in Limitless Wrestling. This would certainly put him to the top.
Why is it important to you, Randy, as a promoter, to deliver this match to the fans of Limitless Wrestling?
I think this is one of the most anticipated matches in Limitless history. And I think even if we look back from September to November, when this match was originally supposed to happen, there was so much hype for this match because it was so different. It was a match that no one expected to happen. And now, you know, we kind of dangled the treat in front of the dog, and then we didn't give it to him, and we had no choice. We couldn't. And now that we can, I think it's very important that we do, because, you know, I've heard it on podcasts. I've seen it in, like on Twitter and Facebook, like, there are people coming out of the woodwork, new fans who had never come to a Limitless Wrestling show before. They're coming for this match. So I just think it's extremely important that we were able to do this match, and I absolutely believe it'll deliver.
I do as well, and I think we'll be talking about this match for a long time in the realm of Limitless Wrestling when all is said and done. Moving on here, another match, and this is actually surrounding the one of the first people you announced for the show, Kimberly, making her Limitless Wrestling debut against the returning Skylar. And this is pretty cool because it's been a while since Skylar's been at Limitless, and she really has gone from someone from the time she entered Limitless to just trying to get her feet wet in pro wrestling. She hadn't been around all that long. To someone who really has made a name for herself in New England and is doing quite well. And she's not just a side piece to Jeremy Leary now. She is becoming her own individual success story. How much have you seen Skylar grow here, and what made you want to give her this opportunity to face someone who's red hot right now, coming off major exposure?
It's so crazy looking back. I watched a show from the first year the other day, and she was, before she was even wrestling, she was a valet in Limitless Wrestling for Jeremy Leary. She was still, you know, very involved in the matches because she was, you know, training to be a professional wrestler at that point. But to see her come from, she actually made her in-ring debut in October of 2016 with us. But to see her go from, you know, being a valet to being in a tag team to being a singles competitor and not being lost along the way. Like, she was only a year in, maybe a little more, and she's having some of the best matches on our shows. And that's insane because, you know, I look back at, you know, Unreal, where the, you know, nearly 500 people in that building, and she's wrestling her boyfriend, Jeremy Leary, which is a last minute substitution because we had cancellations that day, and they go out and absolutely kill it. Like, it's insane to see how far she's gone so quick. And now you look, you know, she hasn't been in Limitless for a while. Her schedule's been insane. She's been wrestling a ton for Blitzkrieg Pro, for Women's Wrestling Revolution, actually just scoring a pinfall victory on Tessa Blanchard a couple weeks ago.
I did see it. She posted on Instagram about how that was one of the most proud moments of her career so far.
Yeah. And why she's just doing so much. And just this, you know, I know Skylar personally. We're pretty good friends. I know this match with Kimberly means a lot for her, but this isn't something that she's going to take lightly. She's got to prepare for Kimberly. I think Kimberly is one of the hardest striking females I've ever seen in professional wrestling, whether it be with the arms, whether it be with the legs. Kimberly can hit you from anywhere, and obviously she's just coming out of WWE NXT, so she's got a lot to prove again on the independents. So this is going to be a very fun match. This is Skylar's dream match. This is someone who she's wanted to face since she became a professional wrestler. So it's very meaningful to Skylar. I think on the flip side, it's very meaningful to Kimberly as well, to kind of prove that she still is the woman on the indies. Because, you know, with girls like Tessa Blanchard, Rachel Ellering, but then girls, you know, in different spots of different regions, like Alley Cat, Ashley Box, Skylar, you know, you really got to prove yourself. So it'll be interesting.
Let's say Kimberly comes away victorious here. What does that mean for her in the future of Limitless Wrestling? I know that you've announced officially the Vacation Land Cup is coming up, and you've said that you're open to pretty much anyone dipping their toes into this. Could maybe see something like that?
I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities at all. The Vacation Land Cup, there's 8 spots. It's open to absolutely anyone. So if Kimberly scores a pinfall victory here on Skylar, there might be a pretty good chance she could be in that Vacation Land Cup. You never know.
What do I have to do to get in the Vacation Land Cup, or how much do I have to or how much do I have to pay you to win the Vacation Land Cup? Yes, me.
My God, you want to...
Randy, I don't know if you've been checking out my work on the independent wrestling scene, but I do have an elimination in a Royal Rumble under my belt now.
And that makes you qualified for the Vacation Land Cup. We'll talk more about this.
Because, I think it's
I would like to see it happen.
I think it's pretty impressive for someone who's 5'9" and can deadlift a set of pillows pretty. All right, moving on. maybe it would be in my best interest not to be in the Vacation Land Cup. But
I mean, you said it, not me.
But I'll tell you what you can do, whoever you want to see, because this is still wide open right now. If you're a Limitless Wrestling fan and there's someone you're just dying to see in the Vacation Land Cup, tweet at us, at LW Main, hit us up on Facebook. Let us know, who do you want to see in the Vacation Land Cup? I mean,
yeah, please. We're going to announce actually the first entrant into the Vacation Land Cup at Feed the Need this Friday. So be on the lookout for that as well.
So there you go. And you know what? The fans have a pretty loud voice here at Limitless. So if there's someone you really want to see, Randy might be listening. Just keep that
in mind. Always. Yeah, just let us know.
Anthony Green versus JT Dunn. Now, this is part of that double stipulation that we saw made at the end of the last show, where Anthony Green and Ace Romero are picking opponents for each other. And we've talked about this in the past here, that you kind of had to go with this on the fly, and it wasn't maybe necessarily what you had planned, but this is what they wanted, and you're going to give it to them. And Ace Romero was flat out, he was straight to the point that he wants to see JT Dunn and Anthony Green. Now, we have seen them. They've brawled before, all over. Anthony Green took his game to the next level, maybe not in the most sportsmanlike fashion, but this is JT Dunn he's going against. I mean, JT Dunn's insane, and I say that as a term of endearment to him, because... Right. That should create quite the crazy matchup here, no?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. I mean, you look back at they were in the main event at Hybrid Moments in November when we were at the Portland Club, and that was a normal one-on-one singles match, no stipulation involved. We saw a tombstone on the apron, a suplex on the floor. They were fighting all through the arena. This was the introduction, actually, of Brett Domino and DL Hurst as well to Anthony Green's little posse he's got with him. So that was insane. And we actually saw JT Dunn sustain a little bit of a knee injury in that match. I don't know if that played any part in him. It wasn't a defeat, but it wasn't necessarily a victory. It was a double count out. So Anthony Green saved his little streak of not being pinned inside a Limitless Wrestling mm-hmm. ring at that show. And definitely in not the best fashion, but hey, he did it. You know, that's what he's been ever since that tag team loss where Ace Romero was pinned. He's vowed to never be pinned inside a Limitless Wrestling ring. But I think there's a pretty good chance that happens on Friday. JT Dunn is at 100%. The knee is not bothering him anymore. Obviously, he's coming off a concussion as well last year, but he's at 100% right now.
So you're calling for a loss.
Also, you're calling for a loss right here.
You're calling for a loss right here in this Portland street fight for Anthony Green.
I think it could happen because you look, you know, JT Dunn and Ace Romero have not been on the same page. Let's just put that out there. They have not been on the same page for quite some time now. But with Ace picking JT Dunn, although, you know, Ace still was fuming after the match in March with JT, having JT kind of represent Ace Romero here makes me think that everything is back to normal.
And that's a vote of confidence for sure from Ace Romero.
Yeah. And I would think that JT Dunn is planning for the numbers game. I would think that he knows that Brett Domino or DL Hurst could be lurking. I don't know, maybe we'll put it into the referees to ban them from ringside, regardless of it being no rules in a street fight. The ref does have that authority, so maybe, I don't know. I do think that JT Dunn has a lot to prove here because he's on the same, you know, kind of the same wavelength as Briggs, where over the past, you know, 4 or 5 months in Limitless Wrestling, it hasn't necessarily been the most successful for JT, so... Right. He definitely wants to get a win, and I don't think there's anyone that he wants to pin more in Limitless Wrestling than Anthony Green.
No, there's not, but Anthony Green also, as if he needed another ego boost, got it this past week. Named one of the top rising stars basically in the wrestling world by Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and that is not something that should go unmentioned.
No, as much as I hate Anthony Green, like that's really cool. That's a very cool accomplishment. I think a lot of us got the PWI magazine when we were kids. So, and I remember myself always looking for that, you know, Star on the Rise or whatever that section is called, and then, you know, going to kicking up the dial-up internet and trying to find them on Google or YouTube or whatever. So I hope it's still the same today. I hope a lot of people check out Anthony Green from that because, you know, regardless of my thoughts of him, he's been producing some quality matches for quite some time.
Now, I mentioned to you that this is twofold. This goes both ways here. So we know who AG is facing, but who could he be picking for Ace Romero? Because there's a plethora of options, obviously, and there are guys who have history with both men, but we also have seen it before in Limitless where a wild card comes out of left field, and I don't know, what if, just kicking tires here, what if a Brian Fury were to say, hey, let's get back in the game here and reignite that flame?
Man, I don't know. The book is completely in Anthony Green's hands with this. I think, you know, I saw the promo released earlier, obviously, that Anthony Green saying that he's going to wait to announce who Ace Romero's opponent will be. I think maybe that's my bad for not specifying the stipulation that he should have announced it beforehand, but I don't know. Anthony Green, I don't think he has a ton of friends in the world of Limitless Wrestling.
But there's also a lot of bad men out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I'm not sure. I think you – I don't know if you get someone maybe bigger than Ace Romero or you try to get somebody faster than Ace Romero. I don't know what style you kind of groove with here to try to find someone to defeat Ace Romero because it has not been done very much.
No, it has not, and I'm really interested to see who is going to be picked in that regard. Let's continue through the card here. Plenty of matches announced for this show. One I'm looking forward to, Christian Casanova and Austin Theory versus Myron Reed and Trey Miguel and the Workhorsemen. Because, you know, we can't just have a normal showcase tag team match. We gotta throw everything at the wall. And quite frankly, Randy, I think this match has potential to steal the entire show.
Oh, I totally agree. The Dream Team banner is something that Stokely Hathaway has brought to every promotion he's in, from Evolve Wrestling. We look at Alpha One in Canada. It's a really big and important brand to Stokely Hathaway, and it's important that the brand is successful. So he's got two of the next top stars in the independents, in my opinion. Austin Theory, who is the current WWN Live and FIP champion. Christian Casanova, who is, I think he's going to have a breakout year.
Well, look at what he did in March, man. I mean, taking down Brody King is not easy. And that
nothing
match,
to sneeze at, that's
oh
for sure.
Oh, my God. I mean, he was... I was so impressed watching that match. I was so impressed.
And this is actually their first time joining forces as a tag team. They've been partners in a six-man tag match before, never as a tag team. So I'm very interested to see how they work as a team. But they've got two of the top teams in the country, in my opinion, to oppose them. Myron Reed and Trey Miguel, two of the standouts of the Midwest. They've been doing it all. AAW, Rockstar Pro, Pro Wrestling Revolver. You see these dudes everywhere. If you look online and see like any quick clips from like Midwest shows, I guarantee that you see them on there. They're just insane. I honestly think within this tag team right here, I think it's the next Ricochet and the next AR Fox within this tag team of Trey Miguel.
Quite the statement there. And then also the Work Horsemen. I mean, these guys are awesome.
Brutes.
These guys are awesome.
Yeah. Absolute brutes. We definitely saw it last time with their match with the Thick Boys. James Drake, such a heavy hitter. Anthony Henry, Anthony Henry's one of those guys where you don't know what he's going to do. You don't know where he's going to hit you from, and that makes him so dangerous. So I am very intrigued with this matchup. I'm very excited for it, and I think big things await the winning tag team in this match.
Absolutely. You know, real quick, want to give a shout out to all of our friends here who support the Limitless Wrestling Podcast, all the other podcasts out there, the wrestling podcast about nothing, Mind of a Geek, the Blade Job, Main Event Podcast, and of course, Living the Gimmick, all staunch supporters, I'm a reporter, but staunch supporters of the Limitless Wrestling Podcast. And I'll tell you, it is so appreciated having all that support because it helps get the Limitless Wrestling brand out beyond just the confines of New England for sure. So thank you to everyone who helps support that as well. You get a chance to listen to any of those recently, Randy?
Yes. I try to listen to the Main Event podcast every single week. They just dropped a very good interview with JT Dunn where it talks about his involvement with Strong Style Brand. It talks about the little mini show on him called Relentless. Talks about his time in Limitless Wrestling as well. So definitely check that one out if you can. Main Event podcast on every platform. I also try to listen to the WPAN pretty much every single week if I can help it. But I've been listening to a lot of Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard.
Oh, lately, yes, so. Of course. Episode 100 of that coming up.
And oh, yeah, I'm excited. I'm halfway through the Big Boss Man podcast, I fucking missed the Big Boss Man.
I loved it. And if you haven't heard that entire episode yet, wait till you get to the end because Bruce has a hard time talking about Boss Man after he passes. And no surprise to that there as well. And, of course, got to throw some love my way to Living the Gimmick because I'll tell you what, we got some cool interviews coming up, including if you've been following the LTG Manias and the LTG Rumbles, we've been watching these old vintage, and by vintage I mean the retro shows like the 2001 Royal Rumble, 2001 WrestleMania, and we kept seeing this guy that we were calling Right to Censor Guy because he was dressed like the guys from the Right to Censor and he had all these weird signs and he was losing his mind, marking out to everything. And after one loyal listener pointed out, it is none other than WWE Sign Guy. You know Sign Guy, Randy?
Of course I do.
Red Hat, Sign Guy. Well, guess what? Sign Guy is coming on Living the Gimmick. And I can't wait. I cannot wait.
That's amazing.
And I cannot wait. That episode will be dropping soon, so keep your ears posted for that. Let's get back to the card here. How about we talk about Rachel Ellering and Ashley Vox? Ashley Vox coming off a big show in March. Rachel Ellering, one of the top names on the independent circuit when it comes to women's wrestling. And this is good because, remember, a few weeks ago in those fan questions, we asked, when are you going to showcase the women more? Well, you got two showcase matches here for the women.
Oh, yeah. And I wouldn't even call them showcase matches. They're just as much a part of the show, you know, and that's
when
the big
I mean
thing
when
that,
I mean showcase, I don't mean like special attraction. I mean like these are major draw matches. That's what I
no,
mean.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I totally get what you're saying. Rachel Ellering is someone we've been trying to bring in for quite some time. She's everywhere as well, so it's been tough to set up. She's had a couple tours of Japan pretty much every time we've tried to set something up. So I'm glad it's finally worked out. And Ashley Vox, what a surprising story Ashley Vox is. From last minute edition in November to killing it in January and March. I'm so happy for her. She's doing so much right now, whether it be in Chikara, she's doing a lot of stuff for WWR as well. So I'm very pleased to give her this opportunity to see what she can do. I think Ashley Vox is going to be one of the female talents to really stand out in New England and not only just New England, I think beyond that, but also in Limitless Wrestling. The win, obviously, in March was huge for her, so we'll see if she can capitalize on that. But Rachel Ellering is not looking to come in here and lose, so we'll see how that goes.
No, she certainly is not, and like you said, she has been a star around the world lately, so I'm excited to see her. Zachary Wentz and Darby Allin. What about this one?
This was this was not planned. honestly, the original card had Darby Allin in the six-man scramble and Zachary Wentz not even on the show. About a week and a half ago, I started talking with Zachary Wentz, who had the weekend open up, and we had already had the Ohio car coming up of Trey Miguel, Myron Reed, and Ace Austin. So it made sense to add him on once we found out that he had the weekend open. And, what better match should we put together than Zachary Wentz and Darby Allin? I think they've only wrestled once before for Evolve Wrestling. And this one, you know, I feel like we could say this about any match on the card, but this one definitely has the potential to steal the show.
Darby Allin really feels like he's coming into his own in Limitless Wrestling too, no?
Yeah, and he's another cool story. I kind of relate with Ashley Vox. Darby does have some more recognition on the indies. He was a guy who was a last-minute addition for Teddy Hart to wrestle Josh Briggs in November. Since then, he's wrestled Jeff Cobb and MJF and had two banger matches. Darby has quickly become one of those guys who is a core roster member pretty much on every single show. So
and there's no reason for him not to be. He's one of the, I think, most innovative high flyers going today. He's just so different from anything that you see on any other wrestling card, and that's awesome. I love having Darby on shows. I'm really stoked to finally have Zachary Wentz. He's a guy we've been trying to bring in for quite some time, so this one's going to be just insane.
Another one that we definitely should not pass over, I mentioned him earlier, Brody King versus Eli Everfly. You've been hyping this up as SoCal invading Maine. Two stars there. Two different but also equally as exciting competitors in their own individual way. Another match that could very much steal the show, no?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm off the charts amped for this one. I think these two are very special competitors. I think you're going to see them a lot on some major independent shows coming up, as if you don't already. You know, these two just debuted in PWG. Brody King now, I think he's had three or four matches in PWG. Brody was on the New Japan Dojo debut show in California. He was on MLW. And Eli Everfly, I think, is going to be one of those guys to break out as just an insane high flyer this year. He's coming up. He's going to debut for C4 in Canada. He's been at GCW a bunch. So look for these names around. I think they'll be in Limitless Wrestling a lot moving forward. But Brody King with a hell of a debut a couple months ago with Christian Casanova. And I'm just so excited for this match. I think the SoCal scene is insane right now. There's a lot of talented guys out there. And I think it's kind of reminiscent of the Maine scene whenever you have guys like the Maine State Posse who are coming up and very talented. But you don't really hear about them a lot because it's such a big state. There's so many places to wrestle. And then, you know, it's tough to get out of there.
Just think, let's turn the clocks back 17, 18 years to the SoCal wrestling scene where it had these guys, I don't know, you might have heard of them, Samoa Joe, John Cena. You know, it was doing all right back then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And but I think it has the potential.
I don't know how mainstream it was.
No, but I'm saying, you know, I think it can produce some decent talent.
Oh, for sure. Like, you look at Joey Ryan, Scott Lost, the Young Bucks. Like, there's so many fucking talented guys coming out of there. I think the problem is that California
it's so PWG expansive.
Isn't as much booking the local guys anymore, right, and they just kind of started doing it again. But that's the big stage to get on for these California guys so they can really branch out from there.
So what do you think about them kind of taking advantage of this opportunity to come out to the Northeast and get their name out that way?
Oh, I think it's awesome. I'm so stoked that we can do this match. And Eli and Brody are really excited about it. I think they're really excited to show fans what that SoCal scene, the Santino Bros school, what that's all about, and really get their names out there to a new fan base, because I don't think Eli Everfly has ever competed in New England. So I think this will be a first for him.
Free to Think versus the Thick Boys. This is an important match for Free to Think because they called their shot last month, or March, whenever this was. They called their shot. And sometimes that works out for you, and sometimes that gets you in trouble.
Yeah. I don't know if they're overconfident. They might have bit off a little more than they can chew. The Thick Boys are undefeated in Limitless Wrestling as a tag team. John Silver and Jay Freddy have molded together into such an impressive tag team. I know they've got some more bookings as well. A lot of other promotions taking notice of just how unique this tag team is. And it's pretty cool. Like, I look back to September. I don't know if I've talked about this before, but John Silver and Jay Freddy were two guys coming out of July of 2017 that I had no goddamn clue what to do with. But they're both insanely talented guys. John Silver, I think, is underratedly one of the best strikers on the independents. Jay Freddy, just getting back now from his third tour of Wrestle 1 in Japan. That's the Great Muta's promotion for those who don't know. That's just pretty cool. Like, these guys have a lot of potential, and I wanted to see what they could do as a team, and they've just meshed together so well. I'm very intrigued by this matchup because I think Brandon Kirk reminds me a lot of a young Joey Janela, where it's someone who's kind of crazy, kind of misunderstood. I don't mean reckless in the ring, but I think they're reckless where they're going to do what they want to do, and they might not even know what they're doing. But
did you see the promo? I think it was that Jay Freddie cut about the protein and all that. It was flowing around Facebook.
I don't even know if I saw it, but I feel like everyone time I talk to Jay Freddie, it's either about the 80s band Boston or it's about protein or it's about cowboy hats.
Everyone was sharing it. I think it might have been for Beyond. I could be wrong on that. But everyone was sharing this promo, and it was... I have never seen someone so focused and also simultaneously batshit insane.
And, have you seen John Silver's Meat Man promos?
And it might have been John's. I don't remember if it was Jay or John. It was a couple weeks ago, and I was blown away. I mean, I'm blown away anytime I see these guys.
Yeah,
but. People talk about, oh, they're thick, you know, they hit hard, all that stuff, but it is their intensity that impresses me more than anything else.
Yeah, I agree. And, I think this is big for both teams because this would be a monumental step backwards for the Thick Boys if they lose this match, but this is also a monumental step forward if Frieda Think can win this matchup and literally come in, like you said, call their shot and hit it out of the park. Jeff Cannonball, Brandon Kirk, I know they've inquired with Limitless Wrestling before. I know they've been frustrated with me before a ton because I think they believed that I wasn't booking them because of the preconceived notion that they're deathmatch guys and they mm-hmm. can't do anything but that. But I don't think that at all. I think Brandon Kirk is a very talented wrestler. I think Jeff Cannonball is as well. I think a lot of those deathmatch guys get underrated with their actual wrestling abilities. But, you know... they came out and called their shot. Now they have to deliver. They literally have to deliver, or else, you know, what am I going to do with them?
Absolutely, no doubt. And the six-man scramble. Tell us about this particular six-man scramble.
I'm always stoked for the six-man scrambles because this is a melting pot of guys looking to prove themselves. And we've got quite the scramble this time. Ace Austin, who had a very impressive debut last show, teaming with Madison Miles against Brett Domino and D.L. Hurst.
That's he was awesome. He's what, 21 years old, right?
Yeah, he's very young, and he's been wrestling for like 3 years. You wouldn't think that, you know, being as young as he is, but he's just incredible. He's going to be joined by A.J. Gray, who's one of the standouts of the Midwest. We got another Midwest car coming, and a lot of them are in this match. A.J. Gray, the warhorse Jake Parnell, formerly one-third of the Viking War Party, Bolt Brady, who is a guy who, if anyone watched the National Pro Wrestling Days from a couple years ago, you may know the name. He's originally from Texas, just making a big move to Massachusetts. He now resides in Massachusetts. So, you know, if he impresses, he could be someone that you see a lot more on Limitless shows. Also in this match, Tony Deppen, the GCW Extreme Champion, and Kevin Koo. And Kevin Koo is a guy who I know quite well. He is a trainee of the New England Pro Wrestling Academy with Brian Fury. I actually took part in putting together a lot of his first matches when he – because I want to say it might have been his first match ever or his second match ever was in IWE at the Farmington Fair. Hmm. But he was around IWE a lot in his early days as Kevin Park. He then moved to the Midwest. He's been killing it out there. He's coming back up for this show. So this is just, per usual, a melting pot of guys looking to earn a spot full-time on the Limitless roster. So I'm very excited to see what these guys can do.
I am excited for that. Everyone's always excited for that. Always one of the highlights of each Limitless wrestling show was something the fans asked for. And hey, you're going to get more of it because it's awesome. Yeah. So good for
them. It's a fixture now. We can't get rid of it.
Absolutely. You cannot get rid of it. Now, we haven't mentioned one entity, and that is the Mainstay Posse. Danger Kid's not with us tonight. We've documented his troubles with Joey Eastman, especially him in particular. Both Aiden Agro and Alexander Lee unsuccessful in March in the scramble, and they came to blows a little bit. Joey Eastman wants to have a sit-down with them. What the hell's going to happen here?
I don't know, but I think this is the best possible scenario for the situation, and I know that
is this like the Mainstay Posse peer mediation, would not agree with that. Peer mediation here? Was this your idea?
No. This was not my idea. This is absolutely Joey's idea. And I was kind of taken aback by how Joey presented it to me because he wanted to be in front of the fans, be in front of me, and be in front of the Mainstay Posse all at the same time. when giving, he's calling it his final offer, his last request for the Maine State Posse to accept his services. I'm not sure what the hell he wants to be to them. He said he's wanted to be their father before, and that's just fucking creepy to me. But I don't know if he wants to be their agent. I don't know if he wants to be their manager. I understand Joey's frustration as well, because Joey does have a lot of connections in the professional wrestling world. Like, we legitimately went through him to book Jimmy Jacobs. He does have a lot of connections with some big companies. He worked very frequently early on with AAW, which has broke out to be one of the top independents in the country. So I understand the frustration on his part with them not wanting his services, but you know, sometimes you just got to accept no as an answer. So, but I mean, we're putting him in front of the live crowd. He's going to, you know, make his final offer to the Maine State Posse, and we'll see what happens.
I'll be honest with you, man. You're also putting them, you're putting them in the line of danger too, because Joey Eastman is slimy. He always has something up his sleeve. I mean, what if these guys get bombarded? What if someone who we've never seen before in Limitless decides to take matters into their own hands with the Maine State Posse on the behalf of Joey Eastman? I don't know. I mean, look, look, Danger Kid's one of my friends. I love Danger Kid. And I think by having Joey Eastman around here, you're potentially opening them up to being susceptible.
All right. Well, they don't have to go out there. I'm not saying I'm not making them go out there.
I get
but
that.
Hey,
look,
there's a locker room of guys.
He has a lot of pride. All three of them have a lot of pride.
I agree.
And I think that might be getting in their way here.
Well, there's a locker room of guys in that, you know, in the Limitless locker room who joined them in the sentiment of not liking Joey Eastman one bit. So if Joey Eastman has some trick up his sleeve, I guarantee you that the Limitless locker room comes out to make sure that the Maine State Posse are not outnumbered and are not, you know, hit from behind or anything like that. I'm keeping my nose up, I guess, to Joey Eastman. I'll put my ear to the ground and make sure that there's no bombardment or anything like that. This is just strictly an offer to the Maine State Posse in front of the crowd, and they can do as they please. They don't have to show up if they don't want to.
Okay, fair enough. I just think a lot of people out there are asking, why do you even bother with Joey Eastman? Why do you even let him in here? But it sounds to me that this is something.
Hey, let's look at it this way. I don't bother with Joey Eastman. Danger Kid was the one who stepped up and said that he wanted to face someone from Joey Eastman's camp.
It sounds to me like this is much more personal at this point between them. I guess this is just the stage for them to hash it all out on.
That's exactly what I want. I want this to be hashed out in front of the people, and you know, then they can choose what they'd like to do.
Let's get to some fan questions here. Gary asks, will we see some surprises on hashtag feed the need card, or is everything already announced?
I think that we will see a surprise, because Anthony Green has yet to his opponent for Ace Romero. So unless he changes his mind and decides to announce it early, I think we do see a surprise. And I always say you never know who could show up, but you know, obviously you don't know who's going to show up. If I don't know who's going to show up, the rest of Ace Romero. So I think we'll all have a surprise there.
You never know if an Emmy Award winner is going to show up.
If you show up to face Ace Romero, I will literally shit my pants.
Well, who said that I have to face Ace Romero?
That's what you made it sound like. I'd love to see that.
Who said that I can't pick someone? Anthony Green can pick me, who will then pick someone else. You never know. You never know.
Hey, it could happen.
You never know. It could happen. Paula already asked, we already addressed rather what Paula asked, which was about the parking situation. So if you missed that.
Let me say something real quick. For anyone traveling to this event using a GPS, make sure that it's going to take you to 156 State Street off of Congress Street. For some reason, I've had fans and wrestlers plug in this address and it takes them to like Cape Elizabeth, which is like 12 minutes the wrong way. So make sure you're plugging in. I'll get the name of the hospital it's next to too, but it's 156 State Street off of Congress Street, downtown Portland.
There is also, if I'm not mistaken, some construction going on State Street right now. So,
oh, gross. I didn't know that.
So do prepare for that.
That's yummy.
That might either put you in an alternate route or delay you a little bit. So do prepare for some traffic there. Mark asks, how long will tickets be available online? Can I purchase at the door?
You can purchase at the door. Tickets are still available right now. They'll be available until Thursday at 11:59 p.m. Once Friday hits, they'll be taken offline and they'll just be able to purchase at the door. The final shipment of tickets went out Tuesday morning. So if you ordered any time before like 10 a.m. Tuesday morning, you should be getting yours in hand by Friday morning. If for some reason you've ordered a ticket and it has not come in the mail, don't worry. You can just show up at the door with your proof of purchase, the receipt that you get when you order via PayPal. Show that at the door and you will be all set.
The Indie Wave. This is, I know this has gotten a little personal for you, so look, answer it out as you may. What's the deal with MJF? Is he gone from Limitless for good, or is this all a work? And I you and I have spoken about this off air before. MJF rubs a lot of people the wrong way, and there's no doubting how talented he is, but he rubs a lot of people the wrong way. And from my conversations with you, it sounds like he's rubbed you the wrong way.
Yeah, so I saw this question on Twitter, and I said that we would talk about it in length a little bit on the podcast.
I mean, we don't got to talk about
it.
You don't want
to. It's totally fine.
Okay.
I'm just gonna rewind. Myself and Max became pretty good friends after he started working for Limitless Wrestling. He started with us in March of 2017. I met him at a Beyond studio taping in 2016. And he's done a lot of great work for us, you know, wrestling Sami Callihan, Teddy Hart, John Gresham. We've got to a point where it's just not in, I don't think, Limitless's best interest to use him anymore, and I'll get into why that is. When summer comes, I like to set dates up pretty far in advance, because a lot of places run a lot of shows in the summer. So when March hits, I'm trying to set up May, July, and September right off the bat so that we can get our core guys locked down and not have any conflictions, because I try to work around places like CZW, Beyond, AAW, PWG, places where we would have conflictions with guys on our shows. And the core roster is guys like Briggs, Romero, AG, MJF would have been in that category, MSP, I don't know, Ashley Fox, you know right. What I mean. So as March is approaching, I've sent Max the May date and the July date, which the July date is the 27th.
And the Vacation Land Cup.
Yes, true. He was originally supposed to be in the Vacation Land Cup, actually. So I've sent him... those two dates, both confirmed. 2 days before Only Fools Are Satisfied, I get a message. He asks if he can call me. We talk on the phone. He says, yeah, you know, I might not be able to do the May date. I got offered a tour of England. How much is this going to fuck up? And obviously, like, I've said this from day one. I want our guys to get big opportunities. I want them to get these tours of England, Japan, wherever. I want them to get on national television. So where it fucks up all the plans that we had going into July with him missing May, I'm happy for him because, you know, this is a big opportunity for him to go for. So, you know, it's whatever. I say we got to plan for this. We got to figure out a way around it, which is why we taped the promo with Stoke in the ring post-match, mm-hmm. and which is why we taped the backstage thing with Stoke and him. The idea was to have him miss the May show, and he was going to come back hot in July into September. Unfortunately, a week later, I'm hitting him up again, and we're going to talk about what we're going to do in July, how we're going to lead that to September, and then I was going to confirm our November date with him. He gives me another call and tells me that we never spoke of the July date, and he has AIW.
Hmm.
And, that
so you're saying that is you are telling everyone, you're telling everyone here that you did discuss that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what pissed me off, because I've had this situation happen before where dudes just don't write down our dates and they forget. But in any case, it's always been, you know, someone who we're bringing in for the first time or like a bigger name. You know, I've spoke to him numerous times, even at the show in person in March, you know, confirming July, September, and then we talked about him missing May. So I was pissed, honestly. I was quite heated because this is a guy who we've built around and we've built up with these fucking huge matches like Sami Callihan. Like I said it earlier, I think he had a lot of his, you know, first big name matches with us throughout the course of 2017. And we put so much stock in him and we had huge plans leading to September. So it really aggravated me. And he, you know, straight up told me he's going to do AIW and not the Limitless show. And I know for a damn fact that he did not have AIW before we gave him that Limitless date because he straight up sent me his July calendar and he did not have anything on the 27th. So it was something that he took at a later date and then decided to go with that over us. And that's just a fucking slap in the face to me. And I think it's a slap in the face of the crowd who wants to see him in Limitless, because if you can't care enough to not only write down our date, but when you know for a fact that I told you that date before you took another one, you keep the date that you had first. At least that's what, you know, professional wrestlers do. And I don't want to get too deep on this, but that's just shitty. And so I was very straight up with him. I said how I felt, and he was not a fan of that. He, you know, on the flip side, he kind of threw what I've been saying against me, saying that I should be happy for him, who, you know, he's getting big opportunities with England and wherever else he's going, MLW on national TV. I should be happy about that for him, and saying that I've been preaching the whole time that I want this to be a pedestal for guys to kind of jump off of, be a launching point. And I do. That's not something that's lost on me that I've said that. But I mean, if I put so much fucking stock into you and we talk, you know, Max is a really, you know, close friend of mine that we talked pretty much daily about, you know, with the going ons in Limitless Wrestling, how to make this bigger and how to grow everything, and just to have you, you know, just straight up not write down the date and not, you know, when I know that he knows that we spoke about it numerous times, and just say that we didn't and take the other date instead, that just doesn't sit well with me. So I don't think we'll be seeing MJF in a Limitless ring anytime soon. I don't know if that's me, you know, being too prideful, but fuck, like we wouldn't have him for the next, you know, two shows anyway, because he took other stuff. So I don't really know what to say more about that.
You said 5 minutes ago, MJF was a core member of the Limitless Wrestling roster. I take it he's not anymore.
I mean, he's not going to be on any shows anytime soon. So I would say no. You know, if everything was, I was stoked for him for May, but you know, the thing that happened next is just, you know, I don't know how can I have him be a core roster member if he's not going to be there? How can I build anything if he's not going to be there anyway? So that's how I'm looking at that.
Strong, strong words there from you, Randy.
And I'm sorry I dove so deep on that, but I know that I promised that I would get into the, you know, actuality of the situation that happened. And and he's gone online. the funny thing is, like, I posted the footage before, you know, before we had this falling out. Like, I posted the footage of him and Stoke and everything like that. And now he's going on saying that, you know, we're posting it just for views, and he's not ever coming back and calling us a garbage promotion. But like, I don't know if he's mad that I was straight up with him, that I probably, you know, I wasn't going to use him on shows anymore. But it's, I don't think he understands the promoter side of this, because I have to, when luckily we hadn't announced him for any of these shows yet, but I have to answer people, you know, who want to see, you know, someone like an MJF on shows, and then he's not on shows anymore. So
of course,
I figured the best way to do this was to just put it all out there. And you know, he can say whatever he'd like to say, but that's, you know, the actuality of the situation.
Well then, that is quite the emphatic way to end this preview of Feed the Need, a show that he will not be on. And it sounds like he will not be on any Limitless shows in the foreseeable future. But we can tell you what is in the foreseeable future. It is Feed the Need coming up this Friday, just 48 hours or so from when this podcast is getting released, and it is at 7:30 p.m. at the Portland Club in Portland, Maine. Quite possibly the highest potential for the best bell-to-bell matches in Limitless Wrestling history. And that is quite the statement, because there have been a lot of great bell-to-bell matches in Limitless Wrestling. So I am very much looking forward to that. Randy, anything else you want to add about Feed the Need?
No, other than you can definitely pick up tickets at the door. They're still available online, limitlesswrestling.com. Don't miss this show. This is a big one. You never know who could show up, and I mean that. Tell your friends, bring a friend. It'll be a very fun time.
That it will. Make sure you share the Limitless Wrestling Podcast. Tell all your friends about us. Tweet us at LW Maine. Find us on Facebook, Limitless Wrestling, and we will see you next time.